There goes our mass exodus. As I said a minute ago, we're calling this our Mission Sunday, so we have the privilege of having two different groups come and share with us. So in a minute, we're going to have Winnie Otema and Robin Lathrum from Glory Bound. Winnie came all the way from Uganda, and she got in 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. So she's here to just share what Glory Bound does, how they've been empowering, mobilizing women in Uganda there. And then after they're done, we're going to have Ken Furry from the Gideons come and just share what the Gideons are doing. And he's going to give us a little message from the Word as well. So to start off the time, the Glory Bound has a little video for us then.
Nebaza mukama kuba Glory Bound banange kyamazima yenfudde kino kyendi nali muntu abeere waka kulima kwebaka nga baana ne babagoba mbasirina naye nebaza mukama kubanga ebadde nnungi gyendi nze yali talina nakyalaani nga n'abaana tebalina pulaani ya kingula ne kati balaba nga ndi maama asaanidde ne bakingulira era nkirina nsobola otunga ensawo solo tunga pilo kesi nezitunda ne bed cover era sawa yona tusubira okuva mu kifo kino tupangise naye nga byonna ba Glory Bound tetulese kyekimu nzikola nentundako n'abaana ne bebika n'abagenyi bwe bajja ntunga ensawo banange ensawo zino bazaagala abantu bakoowa ebijingiri naye zaffe ziri ku muzuuli ziba ngumu nozamula bazipu byonna bino mbifunamu sente ntunga ne baby bag eno nno bwenjitunga ekyamazima oli buli wagiyitako agamba nange nkolera nange nkolera nendaba nga nfunamu sente lwa Glory Bound tesobola kunva ku mumwa kuba byonna kyendi Glory Bound si kyebaka nze omukyala ayiiya nkeera kuyiiya mwe balenye okutwagala tweyanza tweyanzeeke mukama abawe omukisa.
Great to be here. We were here about a year and a half ago. I know that your church has expanded. I can see it, the building's bigger, and there are so many more of you than when we were here last. Before I say anything, I just want to thank and praise our Heavenly Father for opening these doors. This is work that just she and I, two girls, could never have done. I mean, I'm a senior housewife. Winnie's a widow with no resources, and the Lord has just chosen to use us in what I consider to be a miraculous way. But my husband's here this morning, and if it weren't for his willingness and his ongoing support, that's another reason that we wouldn't have been able to do this. So I just want to praise his holy name. In 2017, Winnie and I had the privilege of sharing with a group of women in her neighborhood in Uganda, in a village by the name of Mende, which is about a 45-minute drive to the west of Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. These women, many of these women have completely lost hope. Some of them are young women that have been school dropouts. Some of them have found that they have a child outside of wedlock, no means by which to support this child, no training, no skills in any area. And they're not able, not only are they a drain on their family's income, they're not able to add to the growing expenses of these families' needs. Margaret is in a family where there are multiple wives, and the one husband is not able to make enough of a living to support the entire family. Margaret is HIV positive. She's healthy, as you can see, but she didn't have any skills. She didn't have any confidence, and these are the types of women that we reach out to. We share the gospel primarily. Our primary consideration with these women is to share the love of Jesus, to teach the Bible each day. But what we do, this first trip, we started teaching soap. Uganda's on the equator, and the best soap-making oils in all the world grow in Uganda. And so what a perfect way to use the oils, but to make amazing bathing soap. We taught washable sanitary protection that first year. And I went back. I said, I have to get back. And so in 3 months, I returned to Uganda. I spent another 5 or 6 weeks teaching with Winnie. We kept expanding the variety of skills that we teach. We started adding dressmaking. With each year, we refined the dressmaking, making them more and more sellable because the quality just rises. We've been teaching them how to make backpacks. We've been teaching them how to make quilts. We've been teaching them how to make handmade journals. And like I said, as we add the skills, we refine the skills from previous years. We teach in a duplex, and we're able to accommodate about 12 students. And we, thanks to the generosity of some donors a number of years ago, we were able to buy 1 acre of land in that immediate neighborhood. It's about a 5-minute walk. And in the future, as we gain more financial independence, we'll be able to actually build that school building, in which case we'll be able to get lots of students. We'll be able to house 50 students. Some of them will be boarding. And so more and more human trafficking will be prevented. What we do, in a word, is prevent human trafficking, because these women have no skills. So they go from having no skills to becoming entrepreneurs. So many of these women have their own businesses. They're not even able to help us because of their successes. When we need to make backpacks, they say, sorry, I've got too many of my own orders. And we're left without the help we need to make backpacks. So that's a good sign. The year 2022 and 23 brought about one of the most exciting things in my entire life. The Directorate of Industrial Training in Uganda accredited us as a school that's recognized by the government. So we are now Glory Bound Vocational Training Center, and our students can take the certificate of authenticity to their would-be employers. Now, in most cases, they have their own businesses, but we had a double celebration last summer. DIT, Directorate of Industrial Training, came to our site and did testing for years' worth of students. They returned to our school, and they were tested by DIT. I'm here to tell you that 100% of the students that took the testing passed. I mean, that's not something that happens. We had so many students that went through that testing. So the graduation was one of the most exciting things that I had ever been part of. Everybody was tearful. Everybody was so exuberant to tell the stories of how their lives have changed. So one of the things that we do besides teaching these young women is to work to model stewardship by being sustainable. We desire to be independent. So we have a retail shop, we've learned to raise goats, and thanks to your extreme generosity, we've been able to buy farmland. We have 9.6 acres of farmland, which Winnie will tell you about. And Emma Gogenauer and I went in January and shared, we taught them how to make cooking bags, non-electric cooking bags. We were able to teach Sinclair Ferguson's class on Union with Christ, which is an amazing class. I'd encourage you to take it. We did that, and we've begun teaching baking. Not everybody wants to sew, so we have invested in a commercial grade oven. And there's so much to say, but we'll be in back if you have any questions. Thank you. Winnie's going to share. All
right, go ahead. Thank you, Robin. Good morning, church. I'm so overjoyed to be here again this morning and to worship the Lord with you. My name is Winnie Otema. I come all the way from the continent of Africa in a country called Uganda, right across the equator. Bring you warm greetings from my local church and from my family. They love you. As you have heard my sister Robin tell you the testimonies of all the amazing things that the Lord in his faithfulness has done in us and through us in the lives of women and girls in Uganda. We are really, really so excited, and at the same time, very humbled and honored that the Lord has chosen to use us and you in such ways that we never imagined. Well, it has been quite a long journey. It has not been a bed of roses all through. We have experienced hurdles along the way. We have experienced so many challenges. Even getting the accreditation by government, it wasn't a one-day thing. We had to move up and down, sign so many documents. It was work that was done like in about 6 months to get the accreditation. So it has not been smooth all through. I, for one, I have been challenged. I have faced difficulties in my personal life, as most of you may be aware. I mentioned that last time I was here. My husband suddenly got very ill, and sadly, he did not make it. And that's like about 5 years ago. That was a very, very hard situation for me. It took me so many days of locking myself up in the room and just rolling on the floor and crying and asking myself so many questions. And I never knew that at some point I would ever get up on my feet. I never knew that the pieces of my heart would at one point be put together. I never knew that the Lord at any one point would choose to use me. So days and days I would not get out of my room. My mother would give me food, I would hardly eat. And that was very, very difficult for me. And like 2 weeks after the burial of my late husband, David, my very good close friends that we used to fellowship with at my house walked away from me. And that was very difficult. For me, because you know, cultures are different. In Uganda, when you lose a spouse, a husband, at a young age, it's considered to be like kind of a curse. And so some people run away from you. So that was very difficult for me. But thanks to people like you, I know most of you prayed, because my husband and I had been to this church before. Thank you for praying. But one of the days when I was really very devastated, I got encouragement in the word of God. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Well, I had to make a decision to see my situation through the eyes of God. Because it's not natural to face challenges while rejoicing. But by the grace of God, we, as believers, we get to face our situation through the eyes of God, which is the Bible. And my faith was built and strengthened. I came to realize that was a season for my faith to grow. It was a season for my pruning. We all go through that season, and pruning is very hard. It hurts. It hurt a lot, but I got comforted in the word of God. And now I stand here as a testimony that the Lord heals the brokenhearted. I stand here to encourage you. Your trials may not be similar to mine. You may be going through a trying time, a difficult situation. It could be a sickness. It could be a prodigal child. It could be anything. But the Lord is right there with you. So I am able to minister to these ladies in ways that I would have never ministered to them if it wasn't for the trials. I am able to identify with these ladies. I am able to hold their hands and pray with them. And above all, I am able to boldly teach these women the truth, the biblical truth, and the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, to me, that is everything. That is why I chose to put aside my profession. By the grace of God, I was able to go to college, and I did a bachelor's in environmental management. But I put that aside, and I decided to serve the Lord. So after that, Robin told me, Winnie, are you ready to do this? Are you sure you want to move on? I told her, Robin, I am ready to move on. So I woke up one morning and I said, I am done crying. I lifted up my hands. I told God, I surrender to you. Use me. Here I am. I am a broken vessel, but ready to be used by you. So I called the women that had been on holiday because of the tragedies, and they came back. We started sewing, and the more that I taught them, the more I felt like my heart was healing. You know the heart can ache. I never knew the heart can ache, but you can feel pain, like the way someone has punched any part of your body, but the heart really hurts. It feels pain. But the more that I shared with these ladies, the more the Lord healed my heart. And here I am. Like Robin has mentioned, last year we were able to purchase 9.61 acres of land. And we have a goal to develop this land into a model farm, because we want to become sustainable in the future. We have been rearing goats on a small scale, and chickens, and growing crops here and there. But now we want to do it on the large scale, so that whatever revenue that we get from this farm can help us to run the operations at the school. And I kindly request you to join what the Lord is doing in Uganda through Glory Bound Ministry. Will you consider to pray with us and for us that the women may believe the truth, that they will accept the Lord's call of salvation? And pray for Robin and I. Pray for the ministry. We also request that you would consider to support us financially if you can, because right now we are looking at fencing the property, fencing off the land to protect our animals and also the crops. Right now we are growing corn on the land, and we have a couple that is willing to stay on the property, so we need to put the house for them and also the structure for our animals. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you.
Well, thank you very much for sharing the gospel with the ladies in Uganda. It's the most important gift that they will ever receive is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. It's a real privilege for me to be with you folks representing the Gideon's International, and I would like to thank Pastor Tim and Pastor Bill for inviting us to come and to share with you this morning, and those of your church organization. I'd like to also thank all of you because I know that your church has been very supportive of the Gideon ministry, and I want to let you know that as a result of your prayers and financial support, there's a lot of people around the world have received a copy of the Word of God, and we thank you very much. I'd like to share with you a little bit more about the Gideon ministry, but before we do that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your house and worship. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what you've done for us on the cross, that we might have our sins washed beneath your blood. We think of all the wonderful things that you've done for us, and we just pray that you would help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and we pray that the things that are said and done here this morning would bring honor and glory to your name. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that everyone here has a special appointment? In fact, everyone in the entire world has the very same appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." Now that's an appointment that everyone will keep, unless of course the Lord returns before that time. Otherwise, everyone will keep that appointment. Therefore, people need to prepare for the future. Of all things, people need to know how they can have their sins forgiven. They need to know the way to heaven. And Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "There's no man comes to the Father except by me." So it's imperative that people know the good news of the gospel, what Christ did for them on the cross, how they can have their sins forgiven, how they can get to heaven. And he's given you and I the responsibility to tell other people about Jesus Christ. He says in Mark 16:15, says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that everyone might have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." So it's imperative that people know the good news of the gospel, what Christ did for them on the cross, how they can have their sins forgiven, how they can get to heaven. And you know, there's nothing more important in life than a person's soul. It says in Mark 8:36-37, it says, "What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" So if you had all the wealth of the world and you did not know Christ as your personal Savior, you would spend eternity in hell. So there's nothing more important in life than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has a bearing on absolutely everything that happens in our life. It has a bearing on how we treat our family, how we treat our friends, how we react in various life situations. But most important, it has a bearing on where we will spend eternity. And there are literally millions of people around the world that do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And it's the objective of the Gideons to win men, women, boys, and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why we exist. And many of these people do not have a copy of the Word of God. They don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. They never heard that "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, that is not a minor misfortune. That is a major tragedy to think that people would live their entire lives, die in their sins, and go to hell, never knowing that Christ provided a way that they could have their sins forgiven. But you and I can help some of these people to receive a copy of the Word of God through the Gideon ministry. And I think that Isaiah 55:11 describes why we should be interested in distributing the Word of God. Isaiah 55:11 states, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Now the first portion of that verse says that the word of God would not return unto him void. Now that means if we're willing to get out there and distribute God's word, we can expect guaranteed positive returns from the word of God. Second portion of that verse says that the word of God would accomplish that which he pleases. Well, what is it that God would want to accomplish through his word? I certainly think he'd want us to know about his plan of salvation. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, God's word provides us with direction for living, moral standards, if you will. Moral standards only come from the word of God. You do not get moral standards from Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, the New York Times, or any other magazine or newspaper. Moral standards only come from the word of God. And when you have trials, tests, and temptations, you can rely on God's word to help you through those rough spots. God's word gives us the hope for a better tomorrow. It shows us the way to eternal life. It's the word of God does all of these things and so much more. In fact, Of all the reading material that ever passes through your household, you'll not read a more important book than the Bible. The last portion of that verse says that the Word of God would prosper wherever it's sent. And that's what the Gideons do. We print and distribute the Word of God here in the United States and throughout the world. And we do not do this ministry alone. Even though we have a membership of around 250,000 businessmen and professionals, we need the help of the churches. We are missionaries sent out by the church. All of our membership comes from the churches. A lot of our finances come from the churches. And with the help of the 210,000 churches across America, we can make a major difference in the lives of literally millions of people around the world. Where you see the Gideons do have a wide variety of ministries. Number one, Gideons are encouraged to do personal witnessing. Witnessing to someone and giving them a copy of the Word of God, it's a good way of telling them you care about them. You care about what's happening in their life. You care about their spiritual well-being. There was a Gideon gave a testament like the one I'm holding in my hand to a Buddhist priest. He said, "This is the word of the living God. Read it and believe in Jesus." Well, at first that Buddhist priest was offended because he didn't want anything to do with this Christianity stuff. But you know, the Holy Spirit prompted that man to read that testament. Through reading the Word of God, he gave his life to Christ. He led his father to Christ, and he went on to become a minister of the gospel, all because someone cared enough about him to simply provide him with a copy of the Word of God. See, God's word will not return unto him void. Now, perhaps the most familiar to you would be our scripture placement ministry, where we place Bibles in hotels, motels, doctor's offices, and other public institutions where we're allowed to place the Word of God. And there's literally thousands of people have received spiritual help or received Christ as their Savior as a result of this ministry. There was a man by the name of Dale Watson. He was a traveling salesman, and he was on drugs, he was alcoholic, and things weren't going well for him. He lost his job, and he decided, well, you know, life is not worth living. He decided he was going to commit suicide. He had it all planned out. He got up one morning, and he started out for Jacksonville, Florida. On his way to Jacksonville, he stayed in a motel in Savannah, Georgia. When he got into the motel room, there on the nightstand lay a Bible placed by the Gideons. He picked it up, and he started to read it. Through reading the Word of God, he decided, well, you know, maybe life is worthwhile living. He didn't make a firm commitment to Christ at that time, but he did go back home. He got his job back, and things started to go pretty well for Mr. Watson. Until one day, he was involved in a very serious accident. He nearly lost his life, and he kind of sat back and took a look at his life, and he decided that he needed to know Christ as his personal Savior. And he knew how to go about asking Christ into his life because, you know, when he stayed in the hotels and motels, he would read the Word of God. Today, Mr. Watson is serving God as a pastor, and he is thankful for the availability of the Word of God in the hotels and motels. Now, we also provide testaments for those in the As a side note, the Bibles that are taken out of the hotels and motels, they go directly to prison for the rest of their natural life there to be used by the inmates, because we do try to get the most out of the Word of God. And there was a young man by the same man of name of Sammy Contreras. He was a Mexican-American. And I was privileged to have dinner with this gentleman several years ago at one of our conventions. And this is his testimony. He said he grew up in Colorado City, Texas, in a four-room house with 26 other people. He said they didn't have the Word of God in their house. They didn't have a Bible. He said they didn't know anything about Jesus. They didn't go to church or Sunday school. And he was always in trouble with the law. He said by the time he was 26 years old, he had spent 12 years in prison. Can you imagine half your life in prison by the time you're 24 years old? Well, when he was 19 years old, he went with his uncle to the city, to the state of Colorado. When he got there, he kind of got in trouble with the law, and the judge kicked him out of the state of Colorado. So he went to the state of Kansas. He was there for a short period of time, and again, he got in trouble with the law, and the judge banned him from the state of Kansas. So he went back to Colorado City, Texas, where he was originally from, and he started one of the largest drug cartels in the Southwest. He had 93 people working for him in this drug cartel. And he also got married, and his mother thought, well, you know, Samuel settled down now, and I won't have to worry about him. Well, that didn't happen. When he was 26 years old, he was arrested again and taken to prison. And in this particular prison, there was a Gideon there by the name of Bob Christian. And Bob Christian had a ministry there for the people that came in that were incarcerated. And Sammy knew him because he was always in prison there. And he said he hated Bob Christian because he was always giving out these little books and he was always talking about Jesus. And they disrupted his service. And the jailer threw him in what he called the tank. It must have been like solitary confinement because They weren't allowed to have anything, not even playing cards. And Sammy loved to play cards. And he told his friends, he said, "We will play cards." So he called Bob Christian over and he says, "Bob, can you give me three testaments?" The jailer said, "Don't give him anything." Bob said, "I have to give him the book." So he allowed him to give him three testaments. And when they got the testaments, they tore the book of John out of all three of these testaments and they started to play cards with the book of John. And this is how it worked. They would call out a scripture reference and the first person to find that scripture and read it, they were considered to have a pair. So there they were, calling out scripture reference, reading the word, calling out scripture, reading the word. Well, pretty soon the Holy Spirit dealt with these people and the tears started to run down their cheeks. All three of them came to know Christ as their personal Savior. Sammy was overwhelmed with the love of God in his life. He was going around telling everybody he loved him. He told the judge he loved him. He told the jailer he loved him. And the next day, his wife and his mother came in, and they had talked to the attorney, and they said that perhaps they could get Sammy off for 25 years. He said, "It doesn't matter." He said, "I love you." He said, "Whatever I have coming, I'll take it." Well, the next day, he went before the judge for sentencing. His lawyer never showed up, and the judge and the prosecuting attorney were discussing his case, and Sammy stood up and said, "Judge," he said, "it's okay. Whatever I have coming to me, I'll do that." Judge said, "Sit down." So they continued to discuss Sammy's case, and the judge said, "Sammy Contreras, stand up." He said, "Sammy," he said, "you are a free man." It was quite evident that Sammy Contreras was rehabilitated by the Word of God. He became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, we have no idea the value of one or two testaments that were given out. It says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, it talked about the Word of God's being sowed, and some brought forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, you know, Sammy Contreras went out to become a pastor. And he said when he started his church, he had 350, or he had 7 people in his church. 3 years later, he had 350 people in his church. And they had revival services, and they had prison ministry. And he said, you know, he said his life was changed because someone took the time to give them a little book. He said, Bob Christian told him, he said, one day, he said, this little book is going to get you. And it did. And Sammy went out into the community. He became involved in the community as well. And there were two other, he became a city council member. And there were two other city council members that served with him. And they got saved. The mayor got saved. City manager got saved. And 61 of the 93 people that worked for him in the drug cartel got saved. He said his life was changed because someone cared enough about him to prod him with a little book. And of course, that little book was the Word of God. So, you know, we have no idea the value of one or two testaments reaching people throughout the world. We don't know how many lives were touched by Sammy Contreras and these two gentlemen that came to know Christ as their personal Savior. Now, we also provide testaments for hospitals, convalescent homes, nursing homes, and rest homes throughout the country. And you know, people in these institutions not only have physical needs, they also have spiritual needs. And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Is there a better place to find rest than in the Word of God? I don't think so. There was a man by the name of W.F. Thompson. He was shot 3 times during the robbery of his business. They took Mr. Thompson to the hospital, and they told his wife that there was really nothing more that they could do for him. It would be a short period of time, and he would be going out into eternity. Well, the Lord had different plans for Mr. Thompson. 3 days later, he woke up, and there by his side lay one of these testaments placed by the Gideons. He picked it up, and he started to read it. Through reading the Word of God, he gave his life to Christ. Mr. Thompson made this statement. He said, you know, he said, if I would have died in that hospital, he said, I would have gone to hell for the simple reason I did not know Christ as my personal Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us were in the same situation. Apart from the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all would be lost. Do we have any nurses here this morning? We must have a nurse. Okay, heaven forbid that we'd have an accident and not have a nurse. We do provide testaments for those in the field of nursing and the medical profession. And this ministry is carried on by the auxiliary. Now the auxiliary are the wives of the Gideons, and they form an association for prayer and for personal witnessing. And they're solely responsible for the medical testament ministry. We appreciate what our wives do in the ministry. Do we have any veterans here this morning? We do. And this is Veterans Day, and I thank you for serving, and we appreciate what you have done. And We have the freedom to worship, and we have the freedom to live in this country, and we are so blessed, and God has been so good to us, and we thank you. And the testament that we give out is this camouflage testament that I'm holding in my hand. Now, you probably can't see it because it is camo, so you may have to trust me on this one. But you know, when I think of the armed forces, I think of the awesome weapons of war. You know, the tanks, the fighter bombers, the artillery. And perhaps you saw on television in Iraq where they dropped what was called a daisy cutter bomb. It was supposed to be the mother of all bombs. This bomb came down in a parachute, and right before it hit the ground, this thing exploded and destroyed everything for a very large area. Awesome display of power. But you know, that is a drop in the bucket compared to the power of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Folks, the Word of God can look into our innermost being and see what's inside of us. The Word of God can convict us of sin. The Word of God can meet our spiritual needs. And war is a very sobering thing. You know, a soldier goes out to battle, he can't help but think, if I would lose my life in this battle, where would I spend eternity? And I thank God that we were able to provide them with a testament that has the plan of salvation in the back, and it has helps in the front, that they can have spiritual help available to them at all times. And you know, I had a number of veterans come up to me and say, "Ken, you know, I had one of them testaments when I was in the service, and I used to carry it with me wherever I went." And I thought about that. You know, what a good thing to have as part of your attire than the Word of God. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, talked about putting on the whole armor of God. Part of that armor was the Word of God. Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus was taken up into a high mountain. He was tempted of the devil. With every one of the temptations, he said some particular thing. What was it? He said, "It is written." He went to the Word of God, didn't he? You know what? I don't think he did it for his benefit. I think he did it for our benefit, that we might know that when we have trials, when we have tests, when we have temptations, we can rely on God's Word to help us through those rough spots. Folks, the Word of God is a book you can live by. It's a book you can die by. Now, we also provide testaments for the various school districts, and we try to do these distributions on a semi-annual basis in the 5th and the 6th grades, so that every student that would pass through a given school district might have an opportunity to have a copy of the Word of God. But it's becoming increasingly difficult to get into the school. In fact, in most cases, we have to be off the school property on the sidewalk to distribute the Word of God. Now, that's very sad when you think about it. But you see, a ministry to young people is probably the most important ministry that any church or organization can have. Did you know that statistics indicate that more than 80% of all the people that ever accept Christ as their personal Savior do so before the age of 16? That means that you can pass your Christian values on to your children. And yet there's a movement about today that says, you know, we really shouldn't stifle the development of our children with our old-fashioned Christian values. Folks, that's totally in error. Think about it. How do you make decisions? You make decisions based on the things that you know. Well, how do you know what you know? You know what you know by the books you read, the people you meet, the experiences you have in life, the things you learn at school, the things you learn here at church, the things you learn at home. Therefore, I submit to you that it is imperative that we diligently teach our children the Word of God, that when it comes time for them to make a decision as to who they will serve, they might say with Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Folks, our young people represent the future of America, and we should make sure that the Word of God plays a vital part in shaping their future. Now, kids don't stay kids forever. They grow up, and some of them would go off to college. And if you went to college, the Gideons would be there passing out a green testament. This testament has John 3:16 printed in it in 26 different languages, for a lot of foreign students attend our colleges and universities. There's a man by the name of Howard Mentz. He graduated from high school in Miami, Florida, and he had a scholarship to a college in North Dakota. When he got there, he kind of got in the wrong crowd. He got on drugs, and he lost his scholarship, and things weren't going well for him at all. And one day, the Gideons came to his campus, and they were passing out these green testaments. And Howard kind of avoided these guys like the plague, because you see, Howard was a Jew, and he didn't want anything to do with this Christianity stuff. But it seemed wherever Howard went that day, there were these Gideons passing out these green testaments. So he thought, well, I'll take one of these things, get these guys off my back, and I'm home free. He said, I won't have to read this testament. Well, during one of his more depressing moments, Howard decided to read that testament. Through reading the Word of God, He gave his life to Christ. He completed his studies, and he went on to the Moody Bible Institute to prepare for Christian service. And you know, Howard is not an isolated case. There's a lot of young people that were asking some of the same questions that Howard was asking, like, why am I here? What's my function in life? What's my relationship with God? How can I have my sins forgiven? Those questions are not answered in transcendental meditation. They're not answered in the occult. Those questions are answered in the Word of God. We also have ministries in more than 200 countries around the world, and we print the Word of God in more than 100 different languages. Now, the methods of distribution are similar to that here in the United States. And folks, in most of the world, the Word of God is not available. There is a drought of the Word of God, and there are literally thousands of people every day die and go to hell, never knowing that Christ provided a way that they can have their sins forgiven. And we need to see that. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And ladies and gentlemen, the Gideons have a vision. We would like to see the Word of God in the hands of every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world. And we would like to give you the opportunity to help. You say, well, how can I help? What can I do? Actually, there's a lot that you can do. Number one, you can pray for the Gideons. It says in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, you remember the good King Hezekiah? How the Lord told him that he had better get his house in order because he was going to be checking out? Well, the Bible says that Hezekiah prayed and the Lord added 15 years to his life. God is in the business of answering prayer. Therefore, we covet your prayers on behalf of the ministry. If you're a businessman or professional and you'd like to join the Gideons, if you'd see me after the service, I'd see that you have the information that you need to join the Gideons. We also have a program now called Friends of Gideons. Maybe you don't want to become a Gideon, but you would like to be involved in the ministry. You can become a prayer partner, a financial partner, and you can purchase testaments and give them out to your family, to your friends, to people everywhere. And I have there's a table in the back that has information concerning the Friends of Gideon's ministry, and there are also some tracts and things like that, and I would encourage you to check the table, and if you are interested in becoming a Friend of Gideon's, take one of those along, or you can see me after the service, and I'll give you the information that you need to join the Gideons or become a Friend of Gideon's. You can also help the Gideons through purchasing Bibles through the Gideon Card Program. In the back of your church, there is a Bible display that has these three cards in it. It has an In Recognition card, it has a Thinking of You card, and a Memory card. It also has a self-addressed envelope that tells you how to use the program. This is a very easy program to use. Let's say, for example, you would like to donate Bibles in memory of a loved one. You simply take one of the In Memory cards out of the Bible display, and on the inside it has In Memory of whatever your loved one's name is, the number of Bibles that you would like to donate, and your name and address goes below here, and to put it in the white envelope and send it to your family or friends that loved one has passed away. You then take the self-addressed envelope and follow the instructions on the inside, put your check in it, send it to the Gideons, and they will place the Bibles where they're needed most. The Thinking of You program works exactly the same way, and it can be used for people that are having a hard time. You want to let them know you're thinking about them, you can donate Bibles. The In Recognition program, again, works exactly the same way, and it can be used for anniversaries, birthdays, or other special occasions, and it works exactly the same way. There was a doctor by the name of Doran Edwards. He was a Gideon also, and he had a patient by the name of Blanche Bennett. And Blanche came to Dr. Edwards with some physical problems. She also had some other problems. She had some personal problems. Her husband, who was an alcoholic, had just passed away. She had two daughters that were giving her a lot of problems. And worst of all, she did not know Christ as her personal Savior. And Dr. Edwards diagnosed her as having terminal cancer. When he gave her the diagnosis, she became very bitter. And Dr. Edwards tried to witness to her, but she wouldn't listen to him. However, he did give her one of the little testaments, and she took the testament home. And several weeks later, Dr. Edwards read in the paper where Blanche had passed away. So he took one of the In Memory cards and sent it to Blanche and donated Bibles in memory of the family. And one of the daughters called Dr. Edwards and thanked him for donating Bibles. And she said, you know, she said, the last couple days of my mother's life, she said she wasn't angry anymore. She wasn't bitter. And she said something about knowing Jesus. And she asked that little testament be placed in her hand in the coffin. And we do not have a Bible. Could you please send us a Bible that we might find in that book what Mama found? There is power in the Word of God to change lives. Blanche's sister got saved. Blanche's two daughters got saved. And, you know, God's Word produces life-changing results. So they've got good reasons to donate Bibles. Mainly, people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Finally, you can help with your financial contributions. All the finances that are given to the Gideons goes for printing and distributing the Word of God. We see all the finances that are given to the Gideons, the Gideons are responsible to pay their own expenses. We also pay dues on an annual basis. So that means that all the finances that are given by churches and individuals goes directly for printing and distributing the Word of God. And perhaps you came this morning and you may not be ready to give to the Gideons, or you haven't prepared to give. There is a bulletin insert that you have in your possession there, and it has a self-addressed envelope. You can use that self-addressed envelope to donate if you'd like to do that. It also has on the back in the lower right-hand corner, it has a square code that if you have a smartphone, you could scan that and donate. That's incredible, isn't it? I used to have a dumb phone, so it didn't work for me. But now I kind of graduated to one of these smartphones. I'm in. I can do it. So that's another way that you can donate to the Gideons. So I would encourage you to become involved in helping someone to receive a copy of the Word of God. For you see, God's Word will not return unto him void. And God's Word will accomplish that which he pleases. And the Word of God is powerful. It says in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Look, the Word of God is the most important gift that you can give to someone to help them through life. Last year, the Gideons distributed somewhere around 250,000 copies of the Word of God every 24 hours to men, women, boys, and girls around the world because of people like yourself, people that cared enough about someone to simply provide them with a copy of the Word of God. God's Word will prosper wherever it's sent. And if the Lord shall lay upon your hearts to help the Gideons in any of the ways that I mentioned, I'm sure that the Lord would richly bless you. The people that receive a copy of God's Word, they would be eternally grateful to you. I'm also grateful to you for the opportunity to be able to come to share with you concerning the Gideon ministry. And we'll close in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what you've done for us on the cross, that you were willing to be the sacrifice for our sins, that we might have the opportunity to have our sins washed beneath your blood. And we thank you, Father, for Lycoming Valley Baptist Church. We pray that your hand would be upon the congregation, upon those that are in charge. This church might be able to reach the people of this community with the gospel of Christ, that people